How to Have an Intimate Relationship with Christ, Whom You Cannot See, written by Joseph Ho, read by Janine Innes. Jesus always speaks with analogy whenever he wants to explain the concept in the kingdom of God. He uses such examples as an indirect way to explain that the kingdom of God is everywhere and also within us. In order to have an intimate relationship with him, we have to remain in the vine. He is the vine, and we are the branches. By this, he means that if we are cut off from him, we will lose the life-giving support which comes from the main vine and the roots. A branch that is not connected to the vine will have no more life-giving force or nutrients to support it. So, the kingdom of God is like a vine with all its branches, and it is also how we should lead our life in him. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 6 in the King James Version reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus explained things in simple, understandable principle. Yet, even theologians cannot understand what he is trying to say, since it is so simply mentioned. So, if the branches have to remain with the vine, how are we to be connected to Christ when he is no longer on earth? If Jesus were alive on earth today, it would be easy to have a relationship with him, since we can call him, write to him, and spend time with him by talking to him or listening to him whenever he gives a seminar. But this is no longer so. So, how can anyone have a relationship with a person who is no longer visible or easily contactable? Such are the questions of ordinary folks who have no education or any deep understanding of what the Bible is talking about. The process of having a relationship with a Savior who no longer can be seen easily is indeed a mystery. Have you tried having an intimate relationship with your grandmother who has died? What would you do? You probably visit her grave, see some past photos, and try to remember the times you had with her that you cherished. But the amount of material you have of her is limited because you didn't get to say thanks, and you love her much, but it never even occurred to you that she needs to hear those things from you either. When you were younger, everyone lived for you, and you never gave it another thought to return the gratitude for their time spent with you. So, how can anyone love Jesus whom they have never spent any time with? We need to read the Bible, which kept an account of who he is. Jesus, although we know he is alive as a believer, is someone who does not come to visit his sheep often. This is the truth, as I have asked many believers if they have seen Christ in their lives, even once, and the answer is no. They have not seen Jesus at all. Even the most sincere of Christians, and even pastors and evangelists, have not seen Jesus in their lives. So, having an intimacy with Christ does not include seeing Jesus in their lives. If seeing Jesus was a requirement, then 99.99% of all Christians do not have a relationship with him. I only know that true apostles will see Jesus directly because he alone commissions them for his purpose. These are the real ones with the power to operate in signs and wonders. Then, What was Jesus saying that we should be connected to him as the branches are to the vine? First of all, if we are interested in the person of Christ, we should know that he was teaching on how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible contains much of his teachings on how to become his people. So we need to put in his teachings into our minds and hearts. Then Jesus said, we have to be baptized into his kingdom in his name. After this baptism in water, Jesus promised to baptize us again in the Holy Spirit by sending us his Holy Spirit to teach, guide, and remind us of what he has taught us in the Bible. The evidence that we have this Holy Spirit is we can speak in tongues and we can hear his voice. When will we receive the Holy Spirit? It is written in the book of Luke that whoever asks the Father for the Holy Spirit, he will give unto them this good gift. It is then upon the receiving of the Holy Spirit that we can begin to have an intimate relationship with God. We need to ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which Jesus can give himself. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, in the New International Version reads, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, New International Version reads, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Mark chapter 1, verse 8, New International Version says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Once we can hear, we must learn to obey and move with the Spirit as he guides us. The very first thing that the Spirit will lead is in the area of sin and repentance. Sin separates us from the Holy Spirit of God, so he would not hear from us. It is essential that we get deliverance from such iniquities that hinders us from having a close relationship with God. Jesus has already paid this price so we can enter into the presence of God. The deliverance of such sin is the first step. Once we get delivered, he will convict us of the need to learn from various different ministries that he would put into our paths. We must not limit or restrict how and what God will put into our ways to learn of what he wants us to have. He will put spiritual wisdom into our spirit so we can get involved in his kingdom work. Deliverance from spiritual bondage and oppression is an essential step into intimacy with him. We no longer need to worship sin and be obedient to its torment once we are in Christ. This step may take a few months to a few years, depending on how fast you respond to his conviction. It also depends on your willingness to give up the particular sin in your life. When we begin to hear from God, we have to respond. We have to turn towards the burning bush to investigate if it is God, like in the days of Moses. The next step would be the availability of our time and resources to do his errands. God will prompt us to do some errands for him so that he can authenticate his voice in our lives. There is a price to pay for being obedient to his voice. It requires your time and your resources. He will instruct you to do small, little things, like giving some money to someone, give a book, speak to someone, and call a friend, and so on. But have no fear. God does not call us to do things beyond our means. We will be uncomfortable in the beginning, as it requires us to come out of our comfort zone, to be bold to do things to strangers, people whom you have no prior relationship with. Only when you respond and obey the voice, then he would speak to you more and give you a word of wisdom to minister to the poor, needy, oppressed, and depressed. The gift and intimacy will develop through our own conscious effort to exercise hearing from God by our actions. Giving of material things and resources is easy, but giving a word of knowledge is not so, as it requires us to hear accurately and with confidence. The fear of speaking something foolish is a greater fear to overcome for a new believer. But if you would not do this, then God will not be able to advance a spiritual intimacy with him. If you want an intimate relationship with God, he will take you for your word and commence to send angels to prompt you. John chapter 10, verse 27 in the King James Version says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You will begin to feel things in your heart which you have never felt before. It will be like something just drops into your spirit, and you suddenly have an urge to do something for someone. Anything that is good comes from God. So there is no need to worry if you hear from the devil, as long as you address your prayers to God in Jesus' name. Satan cannot intercept your messages. The name of Jesus is the gate to God in the heaven. This is an assurance from God, else no one can speak to God. We are given the password to address our prayers to God, and that code name is Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus shared this name with God, his Father, because it was his Father's own name. John chapter 17, verse 11, New International Version reads, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." If you have no intentions to hear from God, then don't pray or ask him, because when you ask him, he expects you to obey his advice. Else, he may never speak to you again, since you do not trust him to take his advice. Remember, you are talking to the Almighty God, King of Kings, and he has no time for fools. There's any other advice I can give to confirm the word from the Lord other than by using two or three witnesses? That means we can ask for any confirmation by seeking two or three witnesses. These witnesses can be word from the Bible, prophetic word from man of God, pastor's sermon, information that comes from other people's speeches, street signs, emails. As long as it's not from the same source, it is a witness. The witness does not need to be a human. They could be facts or given words, even dreams. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, New International Version. "This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." You can never be intimate with God if you cannot hear from him. That means there is no communication between you and Jesus, so you cannot be intimate with him. Reading the Bible will not cause you to be intimate with him. It will cause you to know more about him, but it will never replace a close relationship with him through communication. You prayed, God answered, and he tells you to do something, and you did it. Many don't have any breakthroughs because they think they know the mind of God. So they go ahead to do something on their own righteousness just to please God. God is not interested in the things you would do for him. He is only interested in the things he commanded you to do on his behalf. If you are still interested in the things you want to do for him, then he cannot develop a relationship with you because you are still in your self-righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 in the King James Version reads, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Romans chapter 14, verse 17 in the New International Version says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Philippians chapter 1, verses 10 to 11 in the New International Version says, "So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In God contains all the wisdom of the world. He originally wanted to teach Adam about the godly wisdom, but Adam would not listen to him. Instead, he listened to the bone of his flesh, Eve, and proceeded to guess this knowledge himself. Thus, he lost a great teacher. As God has all the wisdom of this world, he does not need any counselor, so he does not need to bless our desires and ideas, but as he has plans to prosper us, we do need to follow him. How good is it to have the Almighty God as our advisor? So we do not need to worry and be concerned about the way we do things, as he can command legions of angels to guard us in all our ways when we follow him. He is better than all of the world's richest mentors, for he commands the insects, the wild animals, the natural storms, hurricanes, tsunamis, the waters and the seas, the rain and the invisible elements to give us the support we need. When we hear from him and obey his commandments, we prosper. Yet, most people still do not learn this truth. They ask God to bless their plans, and then when they get into troubles, they ask God to deliver them from the foolishness of their own plans. They get into the cycle of falling down and asking God for help. This shows that they have not learned this truth. I would rather follow the plans of God so that my life will be smoother and more pleasant, knowing that God is with me, thus avoiding many sleepless nights caused by disobedience. But to follow God's plan, we must be attuned to his ways and be able to listen to him with intimacy and reverence. Yet, even though many people know and understand this truth, they have not been committed to take the time to polish their listening ears, so they do not hear perfectly and thus do not prosper holistically also. But they do expect God to answer their prayers immediately when something goes wrong. Then the process of asking God for help never ends. This repeating of getting into troubles and needing deliverance is evidence of an unrenewed mind. They followed their own plans and thus do not submit to the perfect will of God, so their plans failed, all because they could not hear from God and obey him. Now, why would God bless us? He wants to show the whole world a testimony of a man who listens and follows his commandments, decrees, and statutes. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God will do for a man who follows him wholeheartedly. Only when you have an intimate relationship with God, by obeying him, after you can hear from him, will you then mature into a great spiritual powerhouse for God to be used according to his will, a sanctified vessel fit for honor. The Psalms 91 in the Bible belongs to those who have an intimate relationship with God, and the benefits are real. He is your support and strong tower, and no one can come against you all the days of your life. Make him your real father, a father who is almighty and invincible, who can call upon anything to save you from your enemies. He is the kind of backing that any man would love to have, but not many have his undivided attention because all have fallen short of his expectation. I testify to this truth. God is real, and he can do anything to protect you from harm's way. For he promises to tell his servants what event is to come and when it will come, so that they will escape the disaster that will befall these places of wrath. Those who walked with God are blessed. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 16. King James Version reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This article and more can be found at www.thelionscepter.com. That's www.thelionscepter, thelionscepter.com.